XL of the 3rd Recon Battalion. It is my privilege today to introduce our guest speaker, Coach Greg Laskin from CrossFit. I think it's a rare opportunity when you get a chance to meet somebody who's an absolute pioneer in their field. And that is not, pioneer is not a word I use lightly. Coach Glassman, the stuff that he has done, he has absolutely turned the fitness industry on its ear. But that's not the important part. The important part is what he has done is he has redefined what fitness is. He has caused a debate to re-examine what the human body is capable of. And it's pretty amazing stuff. And some of you I know already get it. Some of you understand it. Some of you have never heard this before. So please pay attention. Ask questions. This is a phenomenal brief. Okay? With that said, again, it's my honor. Great friend of the Marine Corps, great American, Coach Glassman.
I'm going to see if I can do without that. Can you hear me in the back? Go ahead. Great. It's an honor to be here. I can't say much more than that. It doesn't get any simpler than that either. I'm awed that you'd let me stand in your presence. I got a simple story from my childhood that may not have much relevance, but my goal here is to make it relevant. When I grew up in an engineering family, lived in the suburbs of Los Angeles in San Fernando Valley, where my parents and all of our neighbors seemed to be employed in the defense industry. And my father was an engineer, a rocket scientist, and that was kind of a pain in the ass. I think it explains some of what's happened here at CrossFit and maybe some of my quirks and oddities. But he came home one day with a bag of 1,000 nails and a micrometer in a little wooden case. And a micrometer is an engineering machinist tool for measuring things, length of things to great precision and accuracy. So he brings this thing home and it told me it could measure a nail to within 1/1000th of an inch and a bag of 1,000 nails and set me up and had me measure these things one at a time and record the length of the thing. And I did a few minutes of this and he left the room and I started faking the data like any good kid. Figured that it would take me at the rate I was going to make it look like I was doing the real deal, that if I announced I was done about 8 hours later, that it should be perfect, and I had all these tick marks. And so the 8-hour mark, I'm done, I got it, here it is. And he looked at the data and he looked at me and he goes, "You measured these?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, this is bullshit." I was like, "Wow." So I wasted 8 hours just picking my nose and staring out the window, you know, and I'm back to measuring these effing nails again. So I didn't know what he knew or how he figured that out, but he sure the hell had me. So this time I did it right. It took about 16 hours, and I measured every one of 1,000 nails. And what we did is just plied, what I did was he had me plot these things, the frequency of each length against the distribution, so you kind of end up with a deal like this, and I've got the number at each measure, and we plot these things out, and you can't see this. Let me see if I can get a better marker. There. Ended up with a bell curve. And so you had an equal number of the little ones as the big ones, and these, you know, medium large to medium small, and a dominant number here at the top. And I was taught the concept of a Gaussian distribution that is almost an ineluctable essential fact of nature, that just about anything we measure in nature will show this kind of pattern. Screw the pattern. What the real lesson here was that careful observation coupled with measurement can reveal secrets to the universe hitherto unknown, unseen, undiscovered. And the CrossFit program has got some of this going for it. I'm going to try and bring you up to this point. But I want to make a point here about defining terms, careful observation, measurement, prediction, and experimentation. And simple notions, simple terms, but the truth is, the cool thing is that everyone here has more than a brain power to define your terms, make careful observation, measure where you're able, make some predictions, and run an experiment to see how this thing pans out. And when we do that, what we're doing is science. I heard it. Great. It's just that easy. It's not esoteric. It's not out of the academy. It's available to anyone. Define terms, observe, measure, predict, and experiment. So let me kind of segue here to the CrossFit story, because the hardest thing that I do when I talk to people today is answering the question, where did this come from? How'd you do it? Because in very real terms, probably the most honest answer is, I got no idea. I don't know. I didn't plan to be here, but here we are. But with perfect vision in my rearview mirror, I have some sense of it now. I want to share that with you. First of all, this started with what I call a belief in fitness. And what I mean simply by that is that I believe that there was, I still believe, did as a kid, that there was an acquired capacity that would lend itself generally well, not ideally, but generally well, to any and all activities. Follow that? A belief that there was an acquired capacity, something you could work for and attain, that would lend itself generally well, not ideally, but as well as possible, to any and all activities. And the flip side of that, for intellectual, professional, and just kind of academic rigor, is that if that's the case, then fitness needs to be defined. The second piece to this was, I thought it was important that it would make a qualitative and quantitative difference to sport, to our lives, to our survival, to combat, to any and all physical tasks. That it was important, make a quantifiable, qualifiable difference. And that led me to believe it needed to be measured. So we needed to define fitness and measure it. It made no sense to champion the cause of fitness if you couldn't define it. It made no sense to speak of its importance if you couldn't measure it. So went to prevailing authority and started looking for definitions of fitness. I couldn't find anything that even remotely resonated with this belief in fitness, that there was a general physical capacity, an acquired physical capacity that lent itself generally well to any and all activities. Couldn't find it. Found a bunch of academic jargon and nonsense, but I really couldn't find accurate or precise definition of fitness, which was frankly shocking. And in fact, we understand today that we're the first people on earth to give precise and accurate definition to fitness. I find that just absolutely shocking. Lucky for me, I decided to enter into a field, to make life's work of a field that's largely dominated by morons, but that's an entirely different subject, and apologies to anyone that might be insulted that's a moron like myself and in the fitness game. So I thought, well, geez, let's just do this ourselves because we have to. I'm selling fitness, I'm teaching fitness, I'm promoting fitness, I'm making people fit, or so I thought. Let's come up with a definition. And we worked at first with what we call three operational definitions. They're very clumsy, but you'll see, you'll get it. First of these was, there were two exercise physiologists and coaches, Jim Colley, Bruce Evans. They founded Dynamax, the medicine ball maker that we like. Interesting guys, credible with me, had street cred. Because they were academics, it's a minus. But the plus side was they were also coaching elite athletes. So there was the upside. So I thought, geez, they got to have something interesting to say here. And they did, in fact. And what they did was they parsed 10 distinct, though interdependent, categories of adaptation to physical activity. And I'll just run them by you. This really isn't important. You'll get the scope of this in no time. Cardiorespiratory endurance, stamina, strength, flexibility, power, speed, coordination, accuracy, agility, and balance, 10. Looked through the list, and I thought, yeah, that makes sense. Now, I've seen lists of 4 things, 5 things, 7 things. I like this because it was 10. I hadn't seen that many before. I also liked it because the definitions they provided for each seemed to model my sense of reality. But I want you to understand this. Nature has no obligation to anyone's list of 10 things, none at all. In fact, it'd be a logical fallacy called a reification to think that nature had any obligation to that abstraction. For instance, we speak of cardiorespiratory endurance and stamina. Cardiorespiratory endurance is about gas exchange, right? What we traditionally call cardio, And stamina is localized muscular endurance, okay, not fading muscularly. You can't develop stamina in the lower extremities without taxing yourself in terms of cardiorespiratory endurance. You with me? How can I get my legs so they can go forever without making my heart beat hard? You can't. So these things are perfectly interdependent. But, you know, the value of a model, that's all this is, these 10 general physical skills they're called, the value of a model is whether it can give me insight or have predictive value. So we work with it. Here's what we did with this list of things. We said that he or she is as fit as they are balanced in breadth and depth of these 10 capacities. So that if and when I'd ask myself, could I imagine losing a game, failing at mission, or losing my life through a deficiency in stamina? How about power, speed, flexibility, coordination? It was easy. You don't have to be too clever to see where these things could be vitally important to success of any mission, combat or otherwise, winning at a game, or survival. Very easy to see. From the start, because of this belief in fitness, because it's important, we decided we were going to build a fitness program that would prepare us for the unknown and the unknowable. And I think that's critical. The distinction is subtle, but essential to what it is that you do. We decided that we were going to build a fitness program whose specialty was not specializing. We were told we couldn't do that. And I said, just watch. I'm going to do it. And so we launched this thing. And what I'm doing here is I'm just looking at the physiological range of adaptations and saying, I want all of them. There's none that we're going to consider unimportant. There's none that we're going to neglect. And I think you'd also begin to notice here that inordinate capacity, unprecedented capability in any one of these may suggest an inherent deficiency in the others. Because what we're talking about here is a compromised position. That will come up. I'll bring that up again. First model. So it was a breadth and depth of physiological adaptation. Second one. This time we shift gears, another rather clumsy operational model. And what we looked at this time was the skills and drills that were part and parcel of every sport known. So what we would do is, and it was a thought experiment, so we get a big hopper, we turn the crank, right? So we're like picking like lottery winners, a drawing kind of thing. And what I want to do is I want to load this hopper with the skills and drills that are at the heart of every sport, and I won't exclude anything. So from a track and field, we might have A and B skip drills. From a someone might want to put a heavy clean in there, maybe one of the CrossFit workouts, Fran and Helen, Marine Corps PFT, I don't care, load it up. Run a mile, run 100 meters, marathon, max bench, max dead, rope climb, you get the idea? I'm not going to exclude anything. You want to throw some Pilates and yoga in there, throw it in. I don't care. Now, line everyone up. Here is the contention. He or she that performs best on average statistically at these randomly assigned, randomly chosen tasks is fittest. Just that simple. A couple of things presented themselves immediately on looking at this and talking to people about it. First off, I think most of you here have some sense, if you just kind of let your imagination run and picture yourself standing before this hopper turning, give me a show of hands if you have some sense of what it is that you'd not like to see come out of a hopper if confronted with that. Show of hands. I tell you, if your hand doesn't go up, you know, and we wouldn't do that to you here, but I can sure help you find that something. It doesn't take long at all. But there's something you don't want to see come out of a hopper. Well, I want to share something with you. There is more opportunity to improve your sport performance, to improve the successful completion of a mission. I don't care what it is. I'm specifically leaving that ill or not defined at all, and a greater probability of improving your chances of survival. Again, I'm not describing what the threat to your existence may be, but I'm going to tell you there's more opportunity to make that difference chasing headlong that thing you don't want to see come out than spending more time on the thing you stand there praying to see. There is more opportunity to advance your fitness chasing headlong that thing you don't want to see come out of the hopper than putting more time into your strengths. Okay. So breadth and depth this time of the skills. It also shed another interesting kind of light on us, for us. Take, for instance, Outside Magazine proclaiming Mark Allen fittest man alive. And he's a good guy. None of this is directed at Mark. He lives in Santa Cruz, where our program found its best growth. We've had repeated conversations with him. He's a good guy. He's an enlightened shaman or something. He's a good dude and the greatest triathlete who ever lived, hands down. An accomplished athlete with an amazingly tough mindset to do what he's done. I'll take nothing from him. Fittest man alive? Sure. If you define fit as bike, run, swim, long, if that's the case, then I have no argument he is fittest man alive and by far. How about if I look at those 10 general physical skills? Cardiorespiratory endurance, stamina, I'll give it to them both. Strength, no. Flexibility, irrelevant. Power, little. Speed, none. Coordination, accuracy, agility, and balance, fundamentally irrelevant to his pursuits. Compare that to any one of the UFC champions. Let's look at these turning the hopper. So you're Mark Allen against an elite CrossFitter. Let's just take Josh Everett, who's taken a third and a second at the CrossFit Games. So we're turning the hopper. I can assure you, here's what's going through Mark Allen's head. Dear Lord, let it be bike, run, swim, long, and in combination. Of course he is. Here's what Josh is thinking. Dear God in heaven, don't let it be bike, run, swim, long, in combination. In fact, if it comes up, I'm going to do a half-ass showing and let him have it. We'll just start there. Mark's second thought is, if it's not bike, run, swim, long, in combination, how about middle distance in combination? That would be second best. And Josh is like, I guess the next worst thing would be bike, run, swim in combination at middle distance. And then there's some kind of meeting ground here where neither is quite sure if it's bike, run, swim, short. Josh says, I might have them, maybe not. And Mark's going, I'm not so sure. But the truth is this, any other thing I can imagine coming out of the hopper, and I've had firsthand exposure to Mark and his capacities, Josh is going to take it. He's going to crush him. He's going to crush him. Breadth and depth of modal capacity. Again, this is a compromise. So let me tell you something. I get lined up 1,000 people, and a mile comes up. And you're like, oh, it's the mile, good. I'm going to take first in 1,000. I'm going to tell you, you're not as fit as a lot of other people in your cohort. That's just a fact. You go out there and you run a 415, 420 mile, and I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of guys by our standard, both of these that I've given so far, operational definitions. There's a whole bunch of guys out there that will have better breadth and depth of the 10 general physical skills and are going to crush you on the hopper if indeed you pull out a 415, 420, 430 mile. That's just a physiological fact. Suppose you stand there and go, man, I want back squat, heavy back squat, because I'm going to throw out a 900-pounder, 800-pounder, 750. I'm going to tell you that there are people that are going to crush you. You might have that, but it's going to detract from your total capacity in terms of this breadth and depth of adaptation. Are you with me? This is an example of where coming in first necessitates low ranking overall. That's just a physiological fact. You cannot have a 900-pound back squat and be as fit as we would like to see you. You will not be as fit as any of those that competed at the CrossFit Games, not with a 900-pound back squat. I've worked with many people with 900-pound back squats. I know a lot of them. You got a 420, 425, 430 mile, you're going to have the same problem. That is not a character flaw. It's not a judgment on my part. It's an ineluctable fact. It's a physiological fact. Just like if you weigh 400 pounds, you're not going to have 50 pull-ups. Fact. Not going to happen. Not on this planet. Not in our lifetimes. So I got two models now. Here's a third. And this one, when you really see we're hedging our bets here, this is, I call it clumsy because it is scientifically clumsy, but the goal was to define our terms. It had to be done. We needed to define fitness. We're talking about it. Fitness, 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 just ad nauseum.